impressed by May Russell doing World Watchers, or those of the commentator, do not reflect the opinions of KAC.
But wears out, and we'll go right on to another subject, which will be World Watchers without the disclaimer. I'll begin by saying that I'm responsible for what I say. And this is May Russell. This is program number 626. It is December the 5th, 1983, and for the disclaimer, I will say that I'm responsible for what I say on the air, that Kazoo is not responsible for it, and it's my research. I take the responsibility. Okay. I was going to talk about John Lennon tonight. This is the anniversary 2 years since John Lennon was murdered, but I'm going to put that off for another time because there's so much news to get into, and I want to condense my opinions of John Lennon 2 years later and do maybe my next article for Rebel will be on John Lennon. I can't decide in a week and a half whether it will be on John Lennon or whether it will be on the Los Angeles Police Department, the murder of the rock musicians. There was an article in the New York Post, October 24th, about a new movie coming out. Producer Larry Buchanan, do any of you know his name? And he says that he has evidence from a very good source that the United States government was knocking off dangerous rock and roll stars, and that the movie he's going to be making is called Down on Us. And he produced the movie Goodbye Norma Jean. And he says that his informant has told him that Richard Nixon's administration had a hand in the death of Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and Jim Morrison. Would you go for a lot more? And even though Richard Nixon was not the president when John Lennon was killed, it was just about 2 or 3 weeks before the inauguration of Gerald Ford and of Ronald Reagan, rather. And you know how Reagan loved the rock musicians. If you lived in California, you know for sure that he didn't like them at all. So this movie is about rock musicians, and he has a person who's given him information. He also produced a play on the trial of Lee Harvey Oswald. I don't know Buchanan. I was never too impressed with any of those plays. I have the information on that a way back. I'll have to look it up. I'd like to get in touch with him and help him do something on the movie on the rock musicians. Down on Us, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, and Jimi Hendrix. Althea Flint is producing a movie on Jim Morrison, and she told me that she didn't really believe that he was off by anybody. She didn't agree with my theories on the rock musicians, and Dennis Hopper is directing the movie. I truly don't care what these people think or don't think, because I know there was a concerted effort to murder all of them and get them out of the way. I usually begin the program with 1 year ago tonight, but I'm going to go back to 1980, 1981, and 1982. I asked some questions on December the 7th, 1980. That was the night before John Lennon was shot. Questions for Ronald Reagan, ready to move into the White House. How will we remember, looking back, the years before 1980 when he came in? Is technology making the world better? Will we use it to make things better? Why are so many things going wrong, and why is there so much suffering? Did you see the TV tonight with the women and children in Lebanon being blown up? Who are the people that dictate, and what instruments do they use, and how much power is in their hands, and how much weakness is our responsibility? I was asking that just several years ago tonight. Are the dictators at fault, or do they give the people what they really want? Do we ever learn from errors of past history? Will dependence upon computers and machines deprive of our ability to do our own work for ourselves, and is speed a luxury? And is there any way out of the obvious distractions that keep us busy? That's a good question. When I read that Ronald Reagan was playing the invasion of Grenada, it was supposed to be on October 15th and 16th because the World Series would have people busy, and this was actually in print, the distraction of the World Series. Are you going to have a good year in 1981, I asked, And who will stop the nuclear explosions, the assassinations, the war, the mind experiments, the torture, the genocide, starvation, rape, arson, and murder? All redundant questions, because nothing has gotten better and everything has gotten worse. Then I said in 1980, the night before Lenin was shot, the assassination teams from the 60s are all in place. Why wouldn't they be ready to kill again? Of course, last month you saw, 2 months before, Mr. Aquino in the Philippines, who wanted to oppose Marcos and have some form of democracy, and Mr. Bishop and the ruthless murder of him in Grenada. And I mentioned a few of the assassination team members, Ronald Reagan and Ed Davis, whose name is now in the L.A. Times, the L.A. Herald, with his criminal conspiracy section of the Los Angeles Police Department and his political intelligence division and their dirty tricks that are now being questioned by the American Civil Liberties Union. He's a senator in California. I mentioned Arlene Specter, who's a senator from Pennsylvania in Washington, D.C. Evil Younger, I mentioned in 1980, he now is coming out with the shorter juries and some very repressive new laws that he'd like to get on the ballot that I read off a few weeks ago. Paul Laxalt, who's been linked to every major crime figure and money skimming from his own institution in Vegas, who runs the campaign for the Republicans. John J. McCloy, who in the last couple of years has been linked to Klaus Barbie, the Nazis, the cocaine network, to IG Farben, everything from designing the Pentagon to putting Hermann Abst and Germans into Harvard University with special education. Richard Nixon, who wines and dines with Mr. Wyler of the cocaine connection, the great Marseille connection, the organized crime figures who would like to surface again as a world leader. Gerald Ford, who's on the board of every major corporation that will take him, and of course the notorious Ford from 20th Century Fox with William Rogers and Henry Kissinger and Madame Chenault, and John Connolly, who is in the side wings ever since Reagan was shot. Connolly's been very quiet. One man I mentioned was Leon Jaworski. He's the only one of this gang that passed away. John Tower, with his Senate Foreign Relations Committee, would like to be the new Secretary of Defense if Reagan wins. A brother-in-law, Samuel Cummings, of the Wilson Turple weapon suppliers, and John Tower and Richard Allen, and on the anniversary of Lenin's death, I mentioned Allen. And Howard Baker, who is not running for the Senate, who'd also like to be some big appointed officer, maybe a vice president. And Richard Vagary, who runs the campaign for Jerry Falwell and Larry McDonald and Jesse Helms and Strom Thurmond, one of the guys that wanted Lenin dead, was on the committee to deport him. Those are the people I mentioned that were set, ready for action, with links like Paul Axalt to Mo Dalitz and to the Robert Mayhew Hughes organization, the HIT teams. Well, 24 hours later, it was 24 hours later. I was on the broadcast on Sunday at that time. Monday, John Lennon was murdered 24 hours later. I said they were ready to move, and I believe that they had to move because Ronald Reagan wanted wars. Could you visualize Central America, Lebanon, the Middle East? Yeah, I could. And that's Reagan. And just wait till he's in. Now they want a wall around the Capitol. They have barricades at the White House. He makes it look like America's an armed camp. He is the original Reichstag master. And for those of you in 1983 that don't believe what May says, let's see where you are in 1986, 3 years later, under Ronald Reagan. He doesn't blush. He doesn't look backward. He is a fascist. And then on the anniversary of the death of John Lennon in 1981, that was 2 years ago tonight, I talked about Strom Thurmond and John Mitchell and the documents of wanting to get rid of John Lennon, and Mr. R.C. Whitner, W-H-I-T-N-E-R, the preacher that worked with Strom Thurmond, and the money that went from Wilson and Turple, Frank Turple, to Thurmond's top aide, Mr. Whitner, the preacher, and went into some of the stories, more stories, of the murder of the rock musicians and Richard Allen and the Japanese connections to the Lennon murder and some important connections of the CIA and so forth. That was just 2 years ago, updating it. We usually go a year ago. And then a year ago tonight, broadcast number 522, I brought up the subject of Lenin again with Mark David Chapman and his links to the CIA, Nugenhand Bank, to Beirut, Lebanon, the terrorists formed by the CIA, Geneva, London, his Southeast Asian connections, and Strom Thurmond. And I talked about the possible promotion of U.S. Archbishop Paul Marcinkus, the Vatican banker, and then just a short time after that, that was put off now, but this year Marcinkus is to be promoted to a cardinal 1 year later. Hiding in the Vatican, can't walk the streets of Italy, would be arrested, and they're going to promote him. Of course, Lenin has been on my mind. I bought some tape cassettes to listen last time I went to L.A. for Thanksgiving, and one of the cassettes I got was a group of John Lennon songs, and I'm driving down the coast listening to the song Give Peace a Chance and Merry Christmas. You know, here he's killed in December, and it's very sad to listen to that, and it's sad to think that these people are gunned down, and it's sad to think that the people that enjoyed their music can't rise up in any shape or fashion to do anything about it. When Larry Flynt first got my broadcast and got to know me just a few months ago in September, he was excited about the stuff I had on John Belushi and got it to people like Lorraine Newman and various people who were at Saturday Night Live that worked with John Belushi, and he spent a lot of money to make sure that they all got complete sets on the Belushi murder. Not one of them ever wrote and asked any information. Not one of them is interested, at least not with me, and they could care less about Belushi. So he was offed. Then what? They're going to shut up, make their money, and do what they have to do, and just write it off as, okay, you were here, goodbye, and that's it. When the men invaded Grenada just a few weeks ago, on October 25th, there was a long discussing article about the Rangers from Savannah, Georgia, in the Washington Post. And thank goodness somebody wrote in about it. And they bragged about killing people and putting ground glass in the throat, the drinks of a homosexual at the bar, and various expertise at murdering. They were bragging that we're killers and our job is to kill. But one of the interesting things, the Airborne Rangers were proud, and the Washington Post says that they were fresh from scoring big for Gipper. That's, Ronald Reagan's big role, and oh boy, that's great. And they said, you know what the commies want from us, they shouted, our pretty women and our rock and roll. But you've got to be free to practice rock and roll, and baby, we're free thanks to you guys. Okay, the Rangers now want, it's our rock and roll. When it belonged to a group of people who had an alternative lifestyle, who weren't armed to the hilt, who didn't practice putting ground glass into people's throats and lives to kill them, they weren't allowed to have rock and roll. It was all decadent, okay? You kill the people who express what's going on at the time, and then they say it's our rock and roll. Well, it is now, because it's all plastic and so forth, but that's it's a sad commentary. The freedom of America is to protect theirs, but about 30 or 40 good people had to be offed, and then they select for us the kind of music they want. There is a writer who I have never known that he did other books. It's my ignorance, and I want to pass it on to you so we're not all ignorant. His name is Julius Mader, M-A-D-E-R. And he wrote the book Who's Who in the CIA. And I wanted to turn you on to some new books that he has, a new book that he's written, and some other books that he has out also that I didn't know about that you may want to get your hands on. He has a new book entitled The CIA in Europe, The Essence and Criminal Activity in the United States Secret Service. New Times advertised this book, and I think that we should be able to get it. It's published in, it's at the GDR, entitled The CIA in Europe, The Essence and Criminal Activity of the U.S. Secret Service in Europe. And Mader had some very interesting things to say at the time that Klaus Barbie was arrested. But here's some other books you may want to put on your list, and I'll have it on the sheet that accompanies the broadcast. He has one book called Allen's Gangsters in Action. Another one, The Secret is Out. The famous one, Who's Who in the CIA. another book, The Gray Hand, and the last one, The Killers Lie in Wait. And his new book, it explains, is an expose of CIA subversion in Europe against the Soviet Union and Warsaw Treaty allies and against Washington's NATO allies and against the neutral countries. So these books seem important, and I didn't know that he had written this many books. So if you want to get these, the New York Times has in the magazine section every Sunday a search place that will find hard-to-find books for you. So I'm going to put in a request for these books because I would like to have everything he owns. And people have come to my house and copied Who's Who in the CIA. People that worked with Lee and Marina Oswald in the Soviet Union are there, Mr. McVicker and Mr. Snyder, people that worked with him in the Dallas area, and Congressman Leo Ryan and Bill Boyer, press secretary to Lyndon Johnson. It's a great book, and you'll recognize a lot of names there. Also, I want to turn you on to a magazine called The Hammer, a very good magazine filled with information, published, I'll say it slowly, and you should have a pencil when you listen to the broadcast. Otherwise, again, you can get from me the address, the Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights, P.O. Box 6001, Kansas City, Missouri, 64110. It's $1 a copy, and it's called The Hammer. It's anti-racist, anti-fascist news. The most recent articles on the current one are American Nazi Debate, Klan Watch Hit by Arson, and it's got a lot on the Klan in Alabama, the John Birch Society and the role in the Klan, Hitler's Purging of Gay Nazis, the Blood Purge Against Gays, an article, Real Nazis Don't Eat Quiche, Gordon Call of the Identity Movement and the Posse Comitatus. They've got Call on the Run, Nazi Activity in Minneapolis Police Department. And it's got a lot of Greensboro trial update, the Identity Church and the Radical Right. The Identity was formed by people who were also over in Asia with Charles Willoughby, the head of security for Douglas MacArthur that I wrote about at length in The Rebel. Anti-Semitism in Canada in the high schools. A reporter looks at the right wing, and it's on the Klan. There's a lot of small articles in one issue. I guess it comes out four times a year, The Hammer. A very good source of information of activity of the right. The White Chameleon Knights of the KKK in Houston. Claus Barbie, the Butcher of Lyon, with some new information on Americans protecting him and Nazi war criminals. And various activities of trials, the FBI and the United Klan in the United States. So The Hammer is published in Kansas City, P.O. Box 6001, Kansas City, Missouri, 64110. So this came out before The Rebel. I want to give you the address of The Rebel also. I don't know how long it'll go on, but you better get your copies. One address that they put inside of there is 2029 Century City Park East, Suite 3800, Los Angeles, California, 90067. Now, somebody went to a distributor in Santa Cruz and asked for The Rebel, and he said, I won't distribute it because I don't like Larry Flynt. And this fellow said, well, I'm from a Christian organization, and I want to see if Larry Flynt is subversive. So then he went to the back room and picked up 10 copies and handed them to him for nothing. So you have to press the distributors or find out why, and if they don't want to distribute it, you'll have to write down to Los Angeles and tell them that the distributor refuses to get it out. There's no reason why you can't get it, and pressure. It's up to you to put pressure if you want it. If you don't want it, then you don't want it very badly. There was one obituary this last week in the paper that was of interest to me because it was a military man who changed his mind. U.B. Hester, H-E-S-T-E-R, a retired general who opposed the Cold War. This was in the New York Times, November 26, 1983, and we don't see too many of these. It said that he was a brigadier general in the U.S. Army. He fought in France in World War I, and he was on the staff of General Douglas MacArthur during the war in the Far East, and from 1945 to 47, he worked with the United States government in West Germany after the war and worked with Russians negotiating for the peace. After his retirement in 1951, he criticized American foreign policy. He said that He objected to the fact that we didn't want to get along with the Soviet Union. He said, in World War One, the Soviets lost 10 million people. In World War II, they lost 20 million. And I'm convinced that the Soviet Union will not start the next war, that World War III will incinerate all of us, and that they don't want to start it. And he stayed in the military, went to law school, and retired. He was at the Naval War College. He graduated from there. He was at George Washington University, where he studied law. He was very much part of the administration in Germany, in Europe, in Southeast Asia. And he said, the real enemy in the world, he wrote in Saturday Review in 1957, the real enemies are poverty, ignorance, bigotry. He said, wars and the preparation for wars increase the enemies. That as you prepare for the next war, you have more enemies, and then they're forced to arm. He wrote a book called On the Brink that I didn't know about, but there's a lot of books I don't know about, in 1959, co-authored by Jerome Davis, so I will certainly order that. I've been talking for the last few weeks about Carrington, Lord Carrington, who worked with Henry Kissinger. They're partners in a corporation that gets $250,000 as consultants, and the courageous Congressman Henry Gonzalez. I read you some of the congressional record of September the 15th, where he asked, who are the clients of Carrington and Kissinger? Is our State Department leased to them? Carrington set up the headquarters in 1980 in Barbados to overthrow Bishop. He set up the machinery as soon as Sir Eric Gary, the fascist, was kicked out by Bishop in 1979. It was Lord Carrington who ran to Barbados to set up the machinery that ended in 1983 with Bishop being murdered, and the CIA and the Special Forces, the Green Beret, and the Army running Grenada right now. Well, Lord Carrington is about to be promoted to the head of NATO. Carrington and Paul Marcinkus are to get their just rewards for their good jobs. Washington Post, November the 25th, it says 24th, it came out on the 25th. Britain's Lord Carrington will be Carrington, C-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N, will be named as NATO's Secretary General to succeed the Netherlands' Joseph Luns, L-U-N-S, as the head of NATO pretty soon. Carrington is not expected to assume the post until April, a hiatus that has caused concern among NATO officials who want a quick transfer, and they want him in. Mr. Luns is a former Dutch minister who served NATO for 12 years. So Henry Kissinger's business partner will become the head of NATO. Well, Alexander Haig had it. He also was part of the P2, the Masonic Lodge, the secret Vatican empire that wanted to put in a military dictatorship with Licio Gelli, who trained with Adolf Hitler and with Mussolini and Franco. So Lord Carrington is now to become head of NATO pretty soon in April. It's too bad that nobody answers the request in Congress of Henry Gonzalez, who are their clients, because those clients, I'm sure somebody is wanting to overthrow Greece with Mr. Papandreou, and they forced Suriname to back out. The Suriname government was close to Maurice Bishop. Now they've told the Cubans to leave, and Nicaragua is ready to make deals. Ronald Reagan has scared the heck out of these countries. He's bleeding them, and they know he's ruthless. At least they know him when they see him, and they are all scared. So Lord Carrington is getting his promotion. Now, I get a lot of calls about Larry Flynt day to day. I can't answer every week Larry Flynt, but I'm going to do a little bit about him and my experiences and update it and maybe keep reviewing it as time goes on. Number one, I never knew the man before September. I never had much to do with Hustler, and there were no articles that I found particularly interesting that anyone had sent to me. I get articles from various magazines, Penthouse and Playboy and so forth, and some are good, some aren't, but I didn't know the man at all. I had nothing to do with him when he got the L.A. Free Press issue out. At that time, I had nothing to do with Paul Krasner or Mark Lane or Dick Gregory. That was totally his operation. He got out in 1978, and 1 month later, he was gunned down, and then he was in extreme pain. I only contacted Larry Flynt when Larry McDonald went down and said, do you want a story on Larry McDonald? And then we began talking on the phone, and I discussed the role that I thought McDonald had in shooting him in Georgia or with the people that shot him. and he appreciated my honesty and acknowledged the fact that this was true. And his articles in the paper the last few weeks, the role of Larry McDonald in shooting Larry Flynt. So I never knew him again up to that date. Now, I was in touch with him the month of September and, say, to the middle of October. And he was calling me every day, twice a day, sometimes three times a day. And he'd ask me a question, what do you think about Gordon Novell? And I would tell him what I think, and all of a sudden, about Novell's role, all of a sudden, Novell is in the house, moves in or works for him. What do you think about the Dragon Lady in Texas? He gave a researcher there a name. I knew who he was talking about. I tell him about her. Then he goes to Dallas, and he sees the Dragon Lady, and she sets up a trip there. What do you know about Mrs. Bodden, Dr. Bodden's wife in New York City? I said, oh, for goodness sakes, she's feeding him information that is horrendous. I quick go to my files and copy the information on Bodden, and all of a sudden I hear that Bodden's coworker, Dr. Gross, in some way may be involved with the fate of Larry Flynt at this moment. It seems that there's something going on there. As I say, I didn't know him before, but I have studied the MK Ultra program. I have a library of about 40 or 60 books on it. I experienced it directly through the anti-war movement, what happened at Haight-Ashbury when the people like Dr. Peter Byrne were taking over medical clinics. I know the symptoms. I don't know him before. One of the symptoms is that you spend all your money. You're totally irrational. You don't know your own name. And he's going through all those symptoms. And I was going to go down to L.A. tomorrow, as a matter of fact. It'll be Tuesday by the time some of you get this tape. And try to take control of the people down there. Who flies him out of the state? Who dresses him up in flags? How come these people all moved in? Mitchell Werbel, Gordon Novell, G. Gordon Liddy, Timothy Leary, Dick Gregory. Where did these people all of a sudden come in? I mean, you have to admit that this is the A-team. Now, maybe that's a compliment to the article that I did on Larry McDonald and John Kennedy and the Nazis. And it also was a terrible week for me, as the last month, 3 weeks have been, because I feel some responsibility. What is happening to him? I think he'll, I would make a educated guess, he can't get out of this. I think he'll go broke. I think he'll be dead. I think he'll be a broken man. I think they'll take his will to live and make him suicidal so that you won't know whether he killed himself. And by the time he goes, he'll feel so crazy in front of the news media and everyone else, they won't care whether he's alive or dead. It's like cashing in Howard Hughes, who was Vance Cooper with all the needle marks, and not asking Paul Eckstein, who was the governor of Nevada, or Mayhew, who's alive, or anybody else, what happened to Howard Hughes from the Boston Hospital when Mayhew and John Roselli took him, and he was never seen again. What happened to his brains, what happened to the empire, piece by piece, it was flaked off. This is an American tragedy, and it's a good lesson. It's a painful lesson for those of you who have followed it week by week to see how swiftly the enemy moves the minute you want to get something out. And it would be, as I say, a miracle if the rebel succeeds or goes any further, or the Larry Flynt empire can even hold up. Now, I never knew Paul Krasner in my life. I subscribed to his Realist. It was a funny magazine, some funny, not so funny, but it was an alternative press. And he had moved to the Watsonville area when he was sued by some people for an article he wrote, and I offered to help, and they said he's out west. He came to my house in March of 1972. He stayed at the house. I got to be good friends. I saw him or talked to him constantly from March of 72 until the entry into the Watergate Hotel in June of 72, and he quickly published Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped and was at the press conference in Los Angeles. Was that the same Krasner by June of 74? You should have seen him after he finished the SLA as a CIA. You should have seen him leave Watsonville and the state of his mind. He was pulverized. If you put him in a blender and took his brains, the kinds of MK-Ultra drugs, whether the hashish, or I've talked about this before, he never got out a Realist after this. He does stand-up comedy that is not comedy. He doesn't know his right hand from his left hand. His loyalties went down the drain, where he was extremely loyal and enthusiastic and clear headed and knew what he was doing. There is no realist, and for all purposes, he hardly knows my name and doesn't acknowledge me, and I hardly see him. I'll call him once in a while to remind him the things that in the news that are breaking that we had the realist first. Oh, yeah, And that's Paul Krasner. We'll take a 1-minute break now and go on to some more of the American Dream if you want.